From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today I've been thinking about aliens. Actually, I've been thinking about us, human beings, and how incredibly stupid we can be. You know how NASA sent that golden record on the Voyager missions, the ones that are currently heading out of the solar system? That record is supposed to represent us to whatever aliens eventually find it. Okay, fine, that's not the dumb part. Here's the dumb part. Okay, you're an alien, and you hear this. Now, does this say we Earthlings are a scary, warlike, and probably inedible race? You'll want to stay far away? Or does it make us sound like the galactic version of the kid whose lunch money you're going to steal? I mean, what was NASA thinking? Well, today, we'll learn what NASA was thinking, and seriously, it was pretty fascinating. Also back on Earth, we'll hear from Detroit singer-songwriter Shara Warden and her band My Brightest Diamond. Let's start, though, with the writer and producer, Anne Drian. Anne led the team that decided what would be on that NASA golden record, which was launched into space on Voyager 1 and 2 35 years ago in the summer of 77. These days, Anne runs Cosmos Studios, which carries on the work of her late husband, the astronomer Carl Sagan. He also worked on the golden record, and between them, Anne and Carl and the team selected images of human bodies and text. There were greetings in 55 languages. There's even a record of Anne Drian's own brainwaves. But a lot of that Voyager record consists of music, and we've called Anne to find out how she and her team picked that music. Anne, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you for having me.
This project is such a quirky, kind of quixotic idea. How did you get involved in it?
Well, you could say quirky or quixotic, or you could say epic, mythic, romantic. I got involved
optimistic.
In it. Optimistic. I got involved in it because it was my honor to know Carl Sagan and Frank Drake. And during the early days of preparation for Voyager, they asked me if I would be the creative director of the project, knowing of my abiding love for all kinds of music, and I think it was kind of a great compliment to and an honor to be asked to do this.
Now, the Golden Record has, as we know, lots of stuff on it. In terms of picking the music, how did you do that? How did you select from an entire planet's worth of music?
Well, no, it's like the supreme act of hubris. You know, people who've really never heard a single piece of Chinese music selecting the one piece from a 2,500-year-long continuous musical tradition to go into eternity. So, you know, we had a very healthy respect for our ignorance. And so Tim Ferriss and I consulted ethnomusicologists, great Alan Lomax, people who really knew their music in a variety of cultures. And it was a kind of, you know, it was a very concerted effort to fill in the blanks for the traditions that we just knew nothing about.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear just a tiny sample of what Anne's talking about. This is from the so-called Golden Record, just a couple of the more than two dozen selections that are hurtling beyond the solar system on Voyagers 1 and 2.
Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans,
A couple of excerpts from the so-called Golden Record that were sent out on the twin spacecrafts Voyager 1 and 2 back in 1977. Traditional pygmy music from Zaire, Mozart's Queen of the Night aria, Johnny B. Goode, of course, and Andrian is with me on the line. She was the creative director of NASA's Voyager Interstellar Message. And in terms of, you know, working with Carl Sagan, it was more than just a professional relationship at some point, right? This is where you two met and fell in love?
No, actually we had met years before and, you know, knew each other as colleagues and friends for years. But you're quite right, John. It was during the making of this message to a billion years from now that Carl and I fell madly in love. And we discovered, you know, our feelings for each other, or we were willing to even recognize them, on a phone call in the discussion of that piece of Chinese music, a long-distance phone call. And that was the aperture to 20 years of the most transcendent happiness for the rest of Carl's life. We married and had children. And one of the great things about that record is that my brainwaves, my vital signs, every neurological, electrical impulse that my body could put out was recorded within days of this revelation of our love for each other. And then it was turned into data, compressed into sound, and it's on those two Voyager spacecraft, which are the most distant objects ever touched by human hands, mm-hmm. leaving our solar system, sailing the vast ocean of interstellar space. And so if the engineers and scientists who brilliantly designed the spacecraft and projected 1,000 million year lifetime mm-hmm. for those records, moving at about 40,000 miles an hour.
The way you describe your feelings, the beginnings of your relationship with Carl, as sort of being woven into the fabric of these records is, it's so poetic. But on a kind of nuts and bolts level, if I may, are you talking about the music, the sequencing, that particular Chinese work? Is that the DNA, so to speak, of your relationship that you were talking about?
Well, I think it's all of that, and I think it's also the pale blue dot, which is based on an image taken by Voyager looking back at the solar system just when it was out by Neptune and seeing the true tininess of our world. It's the entire gestalt of the entire experience. It's in there. You know, I think that the first use of the word world music, which is a concept we've all come to embrace, is about the same time as Voyager. In fact, Robert O. Brown, who coined that phrase, he helped us in picking this music. It's about a different kind of cosmic perspective that Carl Sagan articulated more poetically and more clearly than probably anyone else has ever lived. And the idea that Voyager lives on beyond all of us, beyond the Great Wall of China, beyond the configuration of the continents, Blind Willie Johnson performing Dark Was the Night, that's science, and that's all, that's the best we have to offer as human beings. And no matter how we mess up things here, there's some small consolation that those two spacecraft will carry within them some of the greatest aspects of being alive in the beautiful spring of 1977.
We're speaking with Andrian, who was the creative director of NASA's Voyager Interstellar Message Project, the so-called Golden Record. And as Anne has told us, this song, very special to her and to Carl Sagan, the astronomer and astrophysicist working with her on the project. The Chinese piece known as Flowing Streams, performed on the qin, a traditional Chinese instrument, by Quan Pinghu. From the Golden Record, streaming out of our galaxy aboard Voyager 1 and Voyager 2, launched by NASA in 1977. We're speaking with Ann Drian, who was creative director of the Interstellar Message Project of NASA's Voyager, and she's also CEO of the Cosmos Foundation, carrying on the work of her late husband, the astronomer Carl Sagan. And Ann, did you ever ask yourself in the course of this project, what if some alien race out there eventually does find this record? What will they think of us?
Well, of course, we thought about this day and night. You know, really, we wondered whether we should show the worst of ourselves, our violence, our poverty, our ignorance. We wondered if we should just put our best foot forward and try to, you know, put on a good face to the cosmos. And in the end, I think we realized that, you know, we're not such great liars. There are aspects of our personality that will come through no matter what we tell about ourselves. So we might as well just send what we think of as the best of ourselves. I just wanted to correct one minor thing, and that is it's not leaving the galaxy. That would be...
No. You're right. Yeah, that's not a minor. That's a major. It's leaving the solar system.
Leaving the solar system, right.
Right. So it's been 35 years, Anne, since the launch of Voyager 1 and 2. We've just, you know, we've seen NASA land Curiosity, the rover on Mars. If you had the chance, if NASA came calling and said, we're sending something out, you know, as far as we can, would you do it differently? Was there something that you were just dying to include on the Golden Record that you weren't able to do, or, you know, anything like that?
I think we would do it differently. I think there are a lot of different things that we would change, we would add, because, you know, after all, nobody's perfect, and we gave it our best shot back in 1977, and, you know, we've learned, I hope we've learned things since then. I'm very proud of Voyager. You know, I think that that as a labor of love, it stands up very well, and so I'm not renouncing any part of it, but I'm just saying that, you know, obviously there are so many more things we'd like to include. I was lucky enough to be at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory the night of the Curiosity landing several weeks ago, and it was that electric thrill that went through everyone there, that feeling that, yes, you know, we have our problems, but look at what these little human beings on this tiny pale blue dot can actually accomplish. You know, we can do very difficult things. And I think that that's one of the byproducts of the space program, both unmanned and manned. Much greater than Tang and Teflon and some of the other things that, you know, people talk about, is the idea that we are still aspiring to do things that our ancestors could not have even dreamed of. And so I just want to say that I think that NASA has really done an amazing job. And the idea that there's room in a bureaucratic government administration for the romance of the Voyager record and all that it contains says something very, very good about NASA and about our civilization, I think, too.
Mm-hmm. And it was, in fact, a kind of romantic concept, sending these golden records out into the cosmos. Andrian was the creative director of NASA's Voyager Interstellar Message back in 1977. She was the co-writer of the original Cosmos series with her late husband, the astronomer Carl Sagan. And she's also the co-writer and executive producer of the new Cosmos series coming next year, Anne?
We haven't announced our air date, but I'm producing it with Seth MacFarlane and some others. It's going to star Neil deGrasse Tyson as our host narrator.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be 13 hours on Fox and National Geographic, and we are completely thrilled.
Well, Anne, I know that you have to get back to the JPL, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, a busy day for you, but thank you so much for taking some time to look back with us. It's really been a pleasure having you with us.
It's been so so good talking with you, John. Thank you so much for having me.
This is Soundcheck. Blind Willie Johnson singing the song Dark Was the Night, Cold Was the Ground. That's just one of the many pieces of music included on the so-called Golden Record that NASA loaded onto Voyager 1 and Voyager 2. And you can find the entire playlist on our website at soundcheckworkshop.org.
You're listening to Soundcheck. You're listening to Sound with John Schaefer. You're listening to Soundcheck. You're listening to Soundcheck.